Americans who have earned the degree of Masters of Business Administration have gathered in cities across the country in what they call a conference and exposition. Now, you all might think it's a convention where people, you know, get down and party and have fun. Well, they kind of do that, but that's a little later. But right now, it's business. We are talking about the National Black MBA Association. That's Masters of Business Administration, you all. It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos for Wednesday, September 26th. I almost forgot what day it was. September 26th, 2012. We are live at the JW Marriott, that is one of the locations of the National MBA Conference. I got to say MBA, these are business people, not basketball players. These are the people that tell the basketball players how to conduct their business. And I want you to know right now they've had all day, all morning, an entrepreneurial institute where the members of the NBA, there are literally thousands of delegates that are packed in hotels all over the Indianapolis area here for this convention. They're learning to improve their business skills. The slogan of their leadership institute is Advancing Committed Learners. And in this special edition, you're going to find out, what is the Black MBA Association? Why is corporate America here with hospitality suites, with exhibits, courting these outstanding African-American executives, junior executives? And I want you to know, usually when I go to a convention, I'm in a golf shirt. I'm in leisure wear. These folks are dressed like, I feel like it's Easter. And I'm at church. Again, it's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos, and we are just so proud to have the honor of being the first station ever to broadcast from a national MBA convention. And what better way to start than with the chair of the board of directors of the National Black MBA Association. He's Leonard James III, and he joins me live. Welcome, sir. Welcome to Indianapolis.
Thank you, Amos, and thank you for having me on your afternoon show. And those kind words that you've afforded the National Black MBA Association, it's a pleasure to be here with you this afternoon.
We were talking before we went on, you know, about all these folks dressed for business, and I realize there's a lot of entertainment events that are going to occur, you know, during this week. But this really is about business. When I looked at the corporations and the universities that are here at this convention, it's literally a who's who of America.
Yes, it is. It is actually a business convention, and today's focus is all about leadership and entrepreneurial development. Tomorrow, Thursday, and on Friday, we will also host what this nation considers to be the largest African-American business job fair. So we're literally doing a match between corporate America and any number of college students as well as seasoned professionals as they go about looking for jobs. We have about 350 major corporations that will be participating in our career fair on Thursday and Friday, and those includes Marriott, which we have over a 20-year relationship with, ExxonMobil, where I happen to work for 38 years, has been a part of this association almost since its inception back in 1970. FedEx is also a major corporate sponsor, and here locally, Eli Lilly, and their president and CEO is serving as one of our honorary co-chairs. So it is a business conference to your notes earlier, that has been conducted for 34 years, and we're proud to be able to serve the African-American business community in a way that we have now for over 40 years as the National Black MBA Association.
Is it fair to say that the companies that are here, both as, you know, sponsors of this conference as well as exhibitors, are the companies that are serious about diversity, that diversity is not just a fancy word that they put on their websites or in their annual reports, but they're serious. I saw some ads in the souvenir program where it said, we're hiring. You know, we're going to make some offers this week while we're here. These are the companies that they're serious about this.
You're right. They are very serious about this. To give an example, we have an active job network that has slightly over 2,200 job postings. We also here at conference, specific to this conference, have about 766 job postings, and we have 524 interview spaces. the corporations that are represented here come here with the authority to hire on the spot, which is very important. So we expect any number of people to be able to walk away from here actually being employed. Last year, as an example, GE left here with a number of employees. I mentioned my former employer, ExxonMobil. We hired four people from this conference as well as a couple of interns. So it is a conference that is all about actions and providing jobs.
This is also, it sounds like this is, in looking through the program, this is also a conference where the sessions, you learn something. So if a company is sending one of their executives, one of their MBAs here, they know that person is going to come back with some knowledge that's not only going to help that individual, but help that company that helped pay the bills.
Yeah, once again, you're absolutely right. I mentioned earlier, in today's portion of our five-day conference, we're actually focusing on training for leadership and entrepreneurship. I like to use the term that in both of those institutes, we teach people to go farther faster. So it is a way that you can come here, you can gain some skill sets, you can take back, if you're in corporate America, to the corporate setting, actual tools that will improve your effectiveness and your efficiency and improve your corporation's bottom line. So, corporations continue to come to us not only from an acquisition standpoint, but also in the development and retention of the talent, which is also a key element in their diversity efforts.
What inspired you back in the day, because you got a little gray hair like I got a little gray hair, so that means when you made the decision to get an MBA, that wasn't hip back then for us, and that's what we call our folk here on the show, for us to have MBAs. First of all, what inspired you to go that route?
Well, I grew up in a very small town in northern Alabama. It's called Tuscumbia. It's the Helen Keller, birthplace of Helen Keller. Most African Americans that in our age range in the 60s, our parents instilled in all of us the importance of education, and it was a matter of getting us into an economic situation that my parents, quite frankly, did not enjoy. It was not a matter of if I were going to college. It was a matter of where I was going to college. And I think we all have those stories of going to church on Sunday morning and the ushers pulling out those white handkerchiefs and giving us money when it was announced that we were going off to school. I went to undergraduate school at the University of Alabama. I majored in a subject that a lot of people did not know existed. It was statistics, because math was very easy for me, but it was also a pathway to a future that my parents saw. My parents also insisted on graduate degrees. I have three sisters, and they all have graduate degrees. So, again, it was not a matter of if it was an education for me. It was a matter of when and where are you going to accomplish this.
You said that you're an alumnus of Roll Tide. Did I hear that correctly?
That is correct. I graduated from the University of Alabama. I left there in December of 1973 and was a part of the May graduating class of 1974.
So you were walking in the footsteps of the folk and the people that tried to stand in the schoolhouse doors so that you wouldn't even be there.
That's correct. My history, I guess, in education goes back a little bit further than that. I was one of the first African Americans to integrate then Deschler High School in my hometown. And I went through the George Wallace era, the Mayor Smitherman era, the Bull Connor era in Birmingham. I went through all of those. When I got to Tuscaloosa, I was one of the first African Americans from my city to even get an academic scholarship, but I was also there present in Birmingham that evening when USC played Alabama and Sam Cunningham ran north and Sam Cunningham ran south, and he continued to do that all night long. But, yeah, in those days, the University of Alabama, there were probably a couple dozen of students there that followed in the steps of Evelyn Malone Jones and a lot of other individuals that paved the way, if you would, for us to be successful in our academic careers there.
So here we come. Here you are, a pioneer. You got in business, had that MBA. Now we're here in the second decade of the 21st century, and there may be young African Americans that look today at some people in the business world and say, wait a minute, they're gaming the system. They just want to get in there and not be fair, and perhaps MBA does not have the cachet or the respect in our community among our young people as it once had. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I am a proponent of education at all levels. You know, when I have an opportunity to address young people, whether it's in this job or every day, my first advice is go to school. My second words are graduate, and my next piece is go back and graduate again and again and again. In my personal opinion, you know, in this global economy that we operate in, clearly education is going to be the key to success. The new normal, when my parents got out of high school, the new normal to me, quite frankly, today is a graduate degree. And the words MBA are still significant because it does describe to corporate America that you have developed certain analytical skills, that you've developed the ability to think through very complex business solutions and make what we refer to as attainable solutions that can be activated and put in place.
This may be a dumb question. Are ethics taught in business schools, or is learning a little bit of ethics a part of getting a master's of business administration?
It is not as a part of all curriculum. As a matter of fact, I'm speaking at a law school over in North Carolina next month. So, there is a need, I think, to do that. Again, I tell young people that, you know, your name becomes your brand, and your business ethics is literally very important. Again, I was fortunate enough because my father, Leonard Jr., my mother, Alma, made sure that my moral compass was straight, and that has carried over into my professional life. I would also say that working for ExxonMobil for 38 years, ethics was a part of what we did every day, and it is something that I think is critically important today as business professionals go about their daily work life.
239-1310, 239-1310 is after news and names. You may have a question, you may wonder. You may have a question about MBA. You may have a question about the Black MBA Association, what they're all about, African Americans in business. 239-1310, 239-1310 is after news and names. We're with Leonard James III. He is the chair of the National Black MBA Association's board of directors, and you guys have chapters in a whole lot of cities, large, and there's even some little ones here. Even you got a chapter, wait a minute, black folk in Toronto, Canada. And we ain't talking about the ones that play, you know, that play for the Blue Jays or basketball. You're there, and you got a number of collegiate chapters, not only in historically black colleges and universities, but also at Indiana, at our own Indiana University, University of Illinois, University of Maryland, University of Texas, at Austin. The chapters in the city, they do a lot of different things to benefit their communities.
Yes, they do. We actually have 46 professional chapters. Those are graduate chapters, and we have 27 university chapters, and they're very active in their respective communities. And one of the things that we do at the National Black MBA is we begin the process with our youth very, very early through a program that we call Leaders of Tomorrows. We actually reach back into the community, and we get young people in junior high, and we begin stressing to those folks while they're very young the importance of education. We begin getting them in front of individuals that can serve as mentors and role models to do those things. Each year we also host a annual Leaders of Tomorrow's Business Case Competition where these young kids actually analyze a very complex Harvard Business School case. You know,
Are these students that are in graduate school, or these undergraduates?
No, these are high school students.
Wait a minute, high school students analyzing something that would be that a Harvard MBA student could flunk out of.
They are high school students starting as young as in the 10th grade, and they go through their senior year. There's a young man that I met a few years ago. His name is Joe Hill. Joe was from Philadelphia. He participated in that business case competition, went on to graduate from Georgetown. He is now back in Philadelphia. He's working in a new teach program, giving back to his community. These kids are doing something that they call a SWOT analysis. And, you know, when I grew up back in the day, I sat on the front porch and swatted flies, and I had no idea of what it meant to really do a SWOT analysis. But you do have young people today that have very articulate business analytical skills. They have very well-developed interpersonal skills. And we don't talk about those things a lot in our communities, but in those 46 cities where we exist, it's a very wonderful program. So I'd encourage your listeners that if they are in one of those cities that you just mentioned, to go to our website, nationalblackmba.org. We have a search engine there, and you can locate a chapter near you. And if you have a student that's at the junior high school level that you'd love to enroll in that program, we'd love to have them as a part of the thousands of students that are enrolled in that program here in the U.S.
There may be people listening that think you got to have an MBA, that if you got an MBA, you're only going to be working for corporate America. But I know there's some MBAs that are ministers of the gospel. There are MBAs that work for social services. There might be an MBA driving a bus or a cab somewhere. How important is MBA just to survive in life? You know, because you talked about entrepreneurship. Sometimes entrepreneurship could be running a nonprofit, could be doing an enterprise that gives back to the community. There's more community development than just something that's a business.
Well, I think the skill set, again, that you develop through any recognized MBA program is transferable, if I can use that word, to any other number of jobs. You know, it's not widely known that Shaquille O'Neal has an MBA degree.
No. Shaq got an MBA. No wonder he's driving a Buick. He's got an MBA.
He also is a recent PhD. So, you know, but it goes back to, I think, something that you started your program with, that as an athlete, it's one thing to make the money. It's another thing to understand the financial implications of those. It's another thing to be able to engage in a meaningful dialogue with your financial planner to make sure that he or she is making those decisions in conjunction with you and you're not entrusting all of those folks. Junior Bridgman happens to be the largest owner of franchises for Wendy's, African-American athlete, Louisville graduate. You know, again, he understands the complexities of business doing those things. McDonald's, Roland Parish, Dallas, Texas, has 25 McDonald's, a Purdue graduate with an MBA degree, because he's been able now to understand and use that degree in his business practices.
See, now I got a Purdue graduate that's running all of Mickey D's worldwide. So you know how these things are. Again, Leonard James III is the chair of the board of directors of the National Black MBA Association. Their 34th annual meeting is going on all now through Saturday, all over Indianapolis. And we thank you for kicking off our broadcast.
Thank you again for having us, and again to all of your listeners. It's a pleasure being with you this afternoon, and I encourage you to go to our website again, and please feel free to get involved or enroll your kids in our Leaders of Tomorrow's program. Thank you.
And as we go to a break, this just in, CBS Sports, got it on a tweet, is reporting a tentative deal between the National Football League and the real referees, as opposed to the unreal referees. We'll have more details on that. 239-1310, 239-1310. We're at the National Black MBA Association National Convention. On their website is nbmbaa.org. We'll figure that out and get all of that there. We've got a lot more folks to introduce you to coming up. Plenty of time for your phone calls at 239-1310. 239-1310 when we're coming back. The president of the Indianapolis chapter of the Black MBA Association, as well as the honorary co-chair of this convention, who used to work for the NCAA. Now she'd have got a job as head of an entire athletic conference. You ever heard of the CIAA Athletic Conference? Well, now a sister is in charge of that. We'll talk to her, all that and more. It's After News with Amos, after these. Right, back live. J.W. Marriott. Lori Harris. president of the Indianapolis chapter of the National Black MBA Association. Jackie Carpenter is one of the honorary co-chairs. There's a, when she signed up for this, she was, you know, a big deal over at the NCAA. But since then, she's upwardly mobile. She is now the commissioner of the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association. Commissioner. She's like Roger Goodell, only nicer and more humane. But we'll talk to her in a minute. But let me first go to Lori Harris. How happy are you that all these MBAs are here? So instead of you having to get on an airplane and fly all over the country to their conventions, they're now here. What kind of reaction are you getting from the delegates to their time here in Indianapolis?
Oh, they are loving it. It's so exciting to have them here in the city. They are really surprised about how attractive and how the city really looks and the opportunities here. But most of all, having it here for, as the Indianapolis chapter is just unbelievable, just to have it surrounded with people of color, with MBA degrees, professional people, about it, you know, as we say, is just wonderful.
I mentioned when I came on the air that it's a convention. But y'all about business. When I went on the air, I said, everybody's dressed like it's Easter Sunday and you're in church. This is the atmosphere of these conventions, whether it was here in Indianapolis or in Ashtabula.
Right, yeah. So everybody is in their business best, because every opportunity is opportunity to either network, interview, recruit, learn, make connections. And so it is a truly a business professional conference. And so you're going to see people walk the walk. They're talking the talk, and they really mean business. It's unbelievable. You'll never see this in any other conference where you have people of color about business.
What does the Indianapolis chapter do? There's a lot of people listening right now. This may be their first introduction to the Indianapolis chapter of the Black MBA Association. What do you all do there? There may be an MBA that's listening that hadn't heard of you. I find that hard to believe, but there may be some. What do you all do?
So, you know, our mission is definitely to enhance and grow the intellectual and economic wealth of our community. So we have year-long events and programs that gears towards that. It gears towards our five aspects, which is lifestyle. So we kind of focus and target on programs and events to do that. Career development, career connection. We also look at the entrepreneurship. So we have programs and events that focuses on helping people within the Indianapolis community do better as entrepreneurs. And education, we have events. We got a Leaders of Tomorrow program that's catered to high school students that focuses on business aspects. They do B-level school business cases, communication skills, college preparatory. And then we also have a leadership, which is probably the highlight of this event. Today we're sponsoring a leadership institute, which is a high-impact one-day class that's focusing on Leadership Institute. But we take that throughout the year. So we focus on career navigation, how to be a leader within the community, within your work, and within whatever you're trying to do. So those are big things that we do within the city.
How does this group deal with teaching your members how to navigate? I mean, in the corporate world, in the business world, you got to navigate the corporate politics. You got to be able to stay on your positive track, not let, you know, other in the competition, somebody sidetrack you, and then occasionally racism may enter into that. How do you educate people, particularly the younger generation that may have not really experienced the kind of bigotry or setbacks that I know the first guest we had, Leonard James, had? I mean, somebody that went to the University of Alabama way, way back in the day, I know he went through a lot of that. This younger generation hasn't gone through that.
Yeah, we have different seminars and programs that do that. For instance, we have coming up in November is our View from the Top. So we bring C-level people at the top of their game that actually comes in and speaks to our group and, you know, give them tips and tools on how to navigate through the career. We also bring in authors and other people within the Indianapolis community from companies that we partner with, like Praxair or Eli Lilly or Dow Lenko or Roche Diagnostics, that will come and speak to certain careers and aspects. So we give them tools and tips. We have stuff on our website. There's stuff that they can go to nationally. There's webinars, even from a Mideast regional perspective, that gives them that information that they can do to navigate through those landmines.
What do you do? What's out there for high school kids that may be in the back of their mind thinking, I want to be the next Jay-Z, or I want, and not necessarily to do the music thing, but to be the one that's the entrepreneur, the one that produces, or they're kind of thinking about business, but they really aren't sure that. What kinds of things do you have to kind of educate them on what track you got to be in to maybe be an MBA?
Yeah, and that's a good question, because we during this week we have our Leaders of Tomorrow conference, and that is bringing Leaders of Tomorrow from all over the United States that has a Leaders of Tomorrow program. Indianapolis has a Leaders of Tomorrow program that just started this month in September, just kicked off, and it is free. There is a limited space because we do mentoring. We have one-on-one mentoring, as well as we bring in speakers from the industry. They focus on entrepreneurship. They look at financial aspect, financial literacy. They bring in speakers as far as if they survey the kids and say, is there a particular interest or career that you're interested in? And they will bring in those speakers to really focus on those careers to say, this is what you need to do to move ahead. If you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to be an entrepreneur in a particular area, they will bring in that speaker to have them come in and speak to that. And then they just go through the business case and communication skills. And we really work with a lot of the high schools around the city of Indianapolis.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. You may have questions about the Indianapolis chapter of the Black MBA Association. 239-1310, 239-1310. About a month and a half ago, when the National Black MBA Association had like a gathering for people in the community saying they were coming, Jackie Carpenter was there. She's one of the honorary co-chairs, along with Dr. John Lechleiter, the CEO of Eli Lilly. And she was there at the time representing the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA, but just kind of just following what the Black MBAs, I guess she was networking and what have you. Now she is the commissioner of the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association. That's an athletic association like the Big Ten, the Pac-10, Pac-12, the Big This, the Big East, the No East, the Down. All those associations you hear on ESPN, she's the head of one of those. And since there's no woman that runs the Big Ten, no woman that runs the Pac-12, no woman that runs the Big East, no woman that runs the whatever that thing is down in the South. She may be the only woman commissioner of a collegiate athletic association in the country, Jackie Carpenter. First, congratulations.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Let me first ask, how important, you know, is it when you are asked to be an honorary co-chair of this event? You know, the NCAA is strongly committed to diversity. How important was that for your former employer to be involved in this?
You know, representing the NCAA in this manner, I mean, it's an honor, really. I mean, everywhere I go, I try to represent the NCAA or just our community, the culture, my family, in the best way possible, you know, representing the NCAA and being a part of this, just demonstrate how diversity is important and how much the community and this convention means to our community. You know, the NCAA does a lot of events all over the country, and Indianapolis has done a really good job in hosting the Final Four and other events that we have. And because I have a huge part in that, you know, to be the honorary chair and to represent this means a lot to me.
So now the new gig, has it started yet?
I'm 3 weeks in. And
for people that don't know, the CIAA, give us some of those schools that are represented in there.
We have 12 member institutions. 8 of them are in North Carolina. We have one, Lincoln University, that's in Pennsylvania. Bowie, Maryland. Bowie State is in Maryland. Virginia Union, Virginia State, is in the Virginia area. Then we have St. Augustine's College, Johnson C. Smith, Shaw University, Winston-Salem University, Shawan University, which is not a historically black college. It's a majority institution, but they've been on board for the last 5 years. Elizabeth City State University. So we've got a nice culture of member schools. We're celebrating 100 years this year. So my vision is taking us into century two of the new year starting in January.
How many sports do the schools participate in?
We have 16 sports that the conference sponsors. All schools have majority of the sports. Football is one of the major ones. Basketball, if you hear about the CIAA tournament.
You all have this tournament that goes on just, you know, during tournament season for basketball that is like a big economic engine in North Carolina.
It's a mini Final Four or women's Final Four. I mean, we operate in the same manner. I mean, we have a structure in the city of a local organizing committee. There's a lot of funding and money that's funneled into this event. It's a major economic impact for the city, and there's a lot of financial opportunities for the conference to go back to the membership for scholarships.
The fact that the CIAA tournament has been going on for a long time, is that where all these big conferences got the bright idea, gee, let's have a tournament and go in the city and make it an economic development thing?
I'm not sure.
Sometimes, you know, the white folk will steal stuff from black folk when they see somebody making some money off the deal.
You know, I'm not sure. I worked at the conference probably 12 or 13 years ago before even getting to the NCAA, and I've watched this event grow over the years, and we're at a place where it has grown way beyond where it was 13 years ago. I would tell you we're probably the third largest tournament in the country outside of the Final Four and probably the ACC. I mean, again, the economic impact is huge. And so we've got a lot of work to do to ensure that we're moving the CIAA conference, not just the conference and the tournament, but the membership as a whole to impact our community.
In women's Final Four and men's Final Four, does CIAA have an automatic berth?
We have, well, Division II is regionalized, so meaning that the top schools that come out of your region are the schools that get into the tournament. So it's a lot different than the national platform of Division I. But Shaw University's women's team won the Division II national championship last year.
So their name was across the street in the Hall of Champions.
Yes, it is. I mean, they're one of the very few historically black colleges that have won the national championship, including Hampton University, which I was a member of that team in 1988.
239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go to the phones. And, I got to tell everybody, we're using the modern Internet technology today over here at the JW. So when I say go, you start talking. So 239-1310, Anonymous is on the line. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Amos, I was calling to ask concerning the tomorrow program, the young lady, the president that just spoke for the local chapter, how would we get that information? Can we sign our teenagers or our young people up if we come down there for this convention? And then do they have, is this opportunity for the young people or the teenagers going to be at the convention? Can we actually bring them for certain types of seminars during this week as well?
That's a twofold great question. Lori Harris, the caller, was asking, first of all, on the program that the local chapter has with young people, how do parents and grandparents find out more about the program?
Yeah, we actually try to market out to the high school to the high schools, and we ask the guidance counselors to submit names. But the biggest thing that we really get is the word of mouth. So we do communication, and we send out stuff like that.
You all have a website?
We have a website, and you can go to the website and register online. So we do the website, we do Facebook, we do Twitter, and we do face-to-face advertisements.
What's the web address?
The web address is www.nationalblacknba-indy.org.
So www.nationalblacknba, then a dash, then indy.org.
Is the letters, the mbmbaa-nd.org.
Or, you know, see how smart the guidance counselor is of your kid and see whether that word filtered down. The other question they have, Lori, you may not be able to ask, and you may have to get national staff to help. I think I know the answer, but I want to hear it from the MBA folks. The caller was asking, can young people come and attend any part of the conference? Are there things about this conference here where young people can attend, or is this what is called a closed convention only for, you know, registered attendees?
It is a closed convention. It's really geared towards the Leaders of Tomorrow students. But you know what? It doesn't hurt to ask. But it's usually just geared towards, because they went through several programs, and we don't even have, like, every student from our local program attending the Leaders of Tomorrow. They actually have to earn to be part of the conference. But, hey, it never hurts to ask.
Well, the other thing is it sounds, Carl, it's a great suggestion that maybe they can think of when they go to Houston next year, which is the 35th, you know, maybe have something that would touch high school students in the Houston area that could be adjunct to that conference. Great question. 239-1310. You know, sometimes I think the listeners to this show have already earned an MBA. They just didn't go to school for it. Let me go to Malcolm at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I have a question for the lady. Do you have any programs that maybe can help some of the younger folks that had dropped out of school or wish to continue going back to get a career started for themselves? And if so, how would they go about that?
Great question. You talked about, you know, looking at young people who have an aptitude. Why, are there any programs, any thought of programs that maybe touches people that have dropped out or about to drop out, and maybe letting them know maybe they have a business bug hidden in them, school's bored them to death, and all of a sudden you could turn that light on in that young person?
Yeah, the program is really geared to underprivileged kids. You know, people don't really get the opportunity, but it's not isolated. It's not like exclusive to that if there's somebody who's doing well, because we do offer scholarship, but we do try to gear the program to underprivileged high school students. So if there's somebody that has the will and they have the attitude and they really want to improve, we're open. And those are the students that we love to get. And we've seen progression from people that come in that don't have a goal or idea what they want to do, and then go to college.
And it just hit me, Jackie Carpenter. You know, not everybody that wants to go to college and play athletics are into basketball. That means there's 15 other sports in the CIAA. And next Thursday is the annual Black College Fair at Attucks from 6 to 9, where every HBCU, I bet you even all the schools in the CIAA, including the white one, will be represented at the Black College Fair. It's something that maybe if somebody's in the track and field or tennis or others, you know, talk about that. That could be the opportunity not only to go to the school but get some of it paid for.
You know, one of the things that I'm hoping out of the CIAA that we'll be able to educate, you know, at our tournament or any other events to students, high school students, middle school students, what opportunities are available out there, even if it's outside of athletics. I mean, some of us are fortunate to be skilled enough and get scholarships. You know, there's bowling scholarships out there.
Wait, bowling scholarships? There's hope for me. Yeah. Anyway.
We have bowling. We've got track and field, cross country, tennis, I mean, volleyball. I mean, there's just so many different opportunities that you can get scholarship dollars and go to college. I mean, and if you're not an athlete, I mean, there's band, there's music, there's education programs. I mean, one of the things we have to make sure as a community that we give our students all the different opportunities that they have available to get into college. There's a way. Well, there's a way.
All right, and I'm sure that now that Jackie Carpenter is the commissioner of the CIAA, that she's going to be twisting the arms of the people in Circle City Classic to get some CIAA teams involved. So it's not just MEAC and SWAC that we get CIAA. Jackie Carpenter, the honorary co-chair of this year's 34th National MBA National it's not a convention. They learning stuff up in here. They all about business. And Lori Harris, the president of the Indianapolis chapter of the Black MBAs, thanks very much for being with us. When we come back, they tell me FedEx is in the house. We're going to talk to FedEx, find out why they are involved and engaged in the Black MBA Association special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We are live from the JW Marriott. Oh, on Friday, speaking of education, the superintendent of public instruction, Dr. Tony Bennett, will be with us live. He's running for re-election. He gave a speech yesterday where he implied that maybe school districts ought to be under the same rules as individual schools. Is Dr. Bennett paving the way for a state takeover of IPS? We'll ask him that on Friday and other things. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. MBA Association. Let me go to Anonymous right quick at 239-1310. You're on the air. Go.
Yes. Thank you. I also wanted to ask concerning, she said she deals with the high schools. I think it was Miss Laura Harris the local chapter. If your high schoolers are homeschooled, how will they be able to be a part of this particular Looking for Tomorrow program? I may be saying that name wrong. And then if you wanted to come downtown to become a member, are they signing up members for this National Black MBA program? Can you become a member on the spot by coming to the convention? Thank you.
Wait a minute. So you're saying, I'm going to take your second question first. You're saying you're an MBA. You got an MBA or know somebody with an MBA?
My husband.
Your husband got an MBA, and and you want to know, can he come down and join the organization on the spot, Lori?
Yes, he can come here anytime and join up. He can go online to sign up. We'll come to his house again to sign up. But no, seriously, yes, he definitely comes. He can come here and sign up.
So you have a table down there he will be able to see. Okay, great.
Is there like a table for the local chapter down here?
Yes, it is. We are at the registration.
Registration in the convention center or here in the JW?
At both, actually, convention center and here.
They have a registration in the convention center and in the JW Marriott. So you go to the registration. You go to registration and say, "Hey, I want to join the National Black MBA Association," and they'll tighten them up.
Excellent.
Okay?
Thank you.
And her other question was, "What about homeschoolers? You know, you're here in Indiana, and we got a number of folks homeschooling. Have you? How could those young people be involved in the Tomorrow program?"
That's a good question because we haven't really reached out to them, but they can register online. We on our website. And they can join the Leaders of Tomorrow, get information about that, and we will contact them. Because, like I said, there's a lot of word of the mouth as well. But, yeah, they can go on site and online and join up.
All right, I appreciate that. And then if that brother comes down to sign up, I want a commission. 239. See, I'm learning about business being down here. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name is FedEx. And that means all the people that are listening to me that just woke up because they worked the first shift at FedEx and our FedEx distribution, because the first shift is in the middle of the night because that's the most important shift for the folks at FedEx. FedEx is a major sponsor of the National MBA Conference and has been for a number of years. And Donald Comer, who is the director of distributed access marketing. Where do you find out what that means in English? He is receiving the chairman's award from the National Black MBA Association on tomorrow, and he joins me live. Donald, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Nice to meet you.
Now, you work at the little hub at home base in Memphis. We have to say that Memphis is the little hub with this big hub that we got out here in our airport.
Well, I take that as a little bit of Indiana pride and Indianapolis pride, but this is a wonderful facility here in the Indianapolis market, and we're very proud of it and what it does to help our business keep running. But the actual big hub resides in Memphis, Tennessee. And if you've ever flown into Memphis and you've flown over it and you've seen all the 200 and some odd planes that are there on the ground as we prepare to deliver packages all over the globe.
We were talking at the beginning of the broadcast that the corporations that are here, that are not only sponsors of this event, but are here as exhibitors, these are the businesses that diversity is not just a buzzword to make people feel good. They are serious about this, and FedEx has been serious about diversity, serious about reaching out to communities of color, I think literally from day one.
FedEx has a keen appreciation for the results that you get when you bring together people from all different walks, all different backgrounds, and what inclusion and diversity really does to make businesses profitable. We've been a proud supporter of the National Black MBA for many, many, many years, and we value this relationship significantly. And we do everything within our power to demonstrate that commitment both to the organization and to the communities where the National Black MBA Association serves.
Now, you are director of distributed access marketing. That sounds like somebody got a bonus for coming up with a title. What do you do, brother?
I'm responsible for enabling FedEx technologies. I talk to customers. I meet with individuals who have shipping needs. I define requirements in order to be able to develop shipping systems that make shipping with FedEx easy and allow us to reach customers wherever they want to be. I design software, I integrate FedEx capabilities into the Internet, and I work with my peer director to even enable FedEx.com.
Because because really it's gotten to the point where there's customized FedEx packages for customers where the barcodes are already there, where you don't, a secretary doesn't have to fill out, you know, by hand the forms. You've got it where the computer will print the forms out for your large customers. So it really is trying to make things easy for folks.
It really is. More than 90% of the packages that move for FedEx in the United States are generated from some sort of technology. So it's important that the technology that we create and deliver to the market is user-friendly and it meets customers at their needs. So that's my job, to make sure that as we market that technology, that we understand what our customers need and bring to them what they want from us in order to be good stewards for their business.
How has being a part of this association helped you personally in your career track? I mean, you might want to be the next Mr. Smith and running the whole FedEx empire.
I have to say that I'm a very, very proud member of this organization. I'm a life member and have been since 1997. Each year I come to the conference, I haven't missed one since 1997, and it's great to talk to other like-minded African-Americans and understand, you know, how they deal with the same career issues that I deal with, and to learn from them about new and exciting ideas they're implementing in their companies, and sharing things that we're doing at FedEx to also help to mentor and grow other individuals who are at various stages of their careers.
I think most of the community listening knows that FedEx here in Indianapolis has grown to be, if not the number one individual employer of persons, they're in the top five. And a lot of those are that, I jokingly said the first shift, but that really is your main shift, and that's the overnight shift. But that's there are opportunities for people that work there, because that's a lot of part-time folks with benefits. Can I say that again? Part-time with benefits. But to move into full-time, to move into a daytime shift, to move into management.
FedEx is a major employer, and we value our employees tremendously, and we do everything we can to demonstrate their commitment to it. And you're right. We're one of a few employers who offer benefits to part-time employees. We offer tuition reimbursement. We offer them full health benefits. And we do everything in our power to make them feel part of the FedEx family and to bleed deep purple blood.
And always looking for folks.
Always looking for folks. Always looking for good folks. Looking for people who want to understand what our mission is and to buy into that mission and to help both FedEx and themselves to be successful.
Are there things you all do? Because I don't, maybe if I were 21 again, I could work midnight to 6. Every day. Maybe I could do, I don't know whether I could, I can't do that at my age. But what do you do to make sure that people stay productive in that overnight shift?
Well, we try to do a lot of things to demonstrate that we value our people. We recognize that our people are the most important asset that we have as a company. We have strong leaders who are sympathetic and empathetic to the needs of our various employees. They want to meet them at their needs, and they want to understand their unique circumstances. It takes more to deliver that package than a strong back and a willing mind to throw a box. It takes technology. It takes marketing. It takes a strong HR department. So all of those things work together in tandem to offer some of the most rich career opportunities that we can provide to individuals who want to be a part of the FedEx family.
And I know in FedEx cities, FedEx employees, FedEx team give back to the community. One of the things we're most proud of here in Indianapolis, there's a big dinner on Thanksgiving Day, the Moselle Sanders Thanksgiving Dinner effort, which is actually coming up in another month and a half, and where it feeds like 10,000 folks, delivers dinners all around the city, and that effort is one of the groups that do it are FedEx employees that take that day off. Some with their families in the FedEx purple and white, delivering those meals. And it's one of the quiet, great things that the FedEx family does here, at least in this city.
Right. We value the communities where we do business and recognize that it is important to demonstrate that commitment to those communities through programs such as you listed, United Way. We do, in Memphis, we do MIFA Food Bank, and we deliver pandas. We do relief for Haiti. If there's a need, FedEx is there trying to service that need, using our expertise and our technologies to be able to do that.
with Donald Comer with FedEx, a corporate in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee. He did not bring me no ribs up in here. He's receiving the Chairman's Award from the National Black NBA Association. I got Anonymous on the line with the question. You're at 239-1310. You're on the air. Go.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I had a question for the gentleman from FedEx. I was wondering, do you have any programs that, well, it's great you're helping with the younger generation. What about the older generation, let's say people that's over 50?
That's a great question. The caller is asking, he said, hey, I know y'all got programs that deal with the young people. What about folks over 50? Are people 50 to 65 a part of the FedEx family?
People are. I'm actually 52 years old. And so I'm a 23-year employee. I still feel valued. I still believe I can contribute. I have my administrative assistant is 72. So we want people to work for us as long as they embrace the FedEx culture and are willing to continue to do what we need done to continue to make FedEx profitable.
And I'm glad the caller brought that up because some people probably, you know, they know what FedEx does. They know what the shifts are, but they may be thinking, oh, they're only going to pick young people to do that, willing to work in that first shift overnight. They're not serious about somebody my age. Don't assume that.
Well, we appreciate diversity, and age is just one aspect of diversity. We, as long as an individual can meet the basic requirements that we've established what we believe is required to do the job, we don't look at age. We look at the individual and the willingness and ability of the individual to help us to meet our objectives.
And while I was sitting here, Donald Comer seeing me watch the clock because he knows in FedEx it's about time. See, I remember what Tom Hanks said in that movie. And that was not movie. That's real. That was y'all.
That was exactly us. That was a tremendous opportunity for us to be able to partner with the movie Castaway and Tom Hanks and have them to value what we do as a company so much that they came to us and offered that as an opportunity. FedEx did not pay one red cent for that opportunity.
And showed the culture of what FedEx is all about. He is being honored by the Chairman's Award. FedEx is one of the major sponsors of the National Black MBA 34th Annual National Convention. Donald Comer, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having us.
When we come back, here's another way that the black MBAs are getting involved in the community. They're working with the Center for Leadership Development this Saturday's CLD walk. We'll find out more about that. Plus, Eli Lilly is in the house. Their CEO is the other co-chair of the Black MBA Association. He couldn't be there, but we'll talk to Alan Gray about that. It's After News with Amos. We're live at the JW. It's the National 34th Annual Meeting of the National Black MBA Association. That's business folk, not basketball. We're talking business folk. It's After News with Amos on a Wednesday.